things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
Spooky Girl Amateur Hour.
This is a little gross, but listen, okay. There's a group of people online. I just learned about it.
Great.
That are dedicated.
Oh, no.
To the belief.
Uh-huh.
That you can use urine externally.
Oh, no. Oh!
As a natural sterilization.
Well, okay.
And there was a girl.
Uh-huh.
In this Facebook group that I was scrolling through because I was like appalled and fascinated at the same time. And she made this post and she was like, I've been using 2 drops of urine in my eyes to help clear up and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, but they have recently started pussing and they're very sore. Any advice? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, go to the fucking stop putting your own pee in your eyes.
Like,
why do I have to say this?
That is for like emergencies only. Like, if you get stung by a jellyfish.
I don't even think that helps. I know I watched an episode of Bear Grylls once.
Okay.
Where he was like alone in the desert.
Uh-huh.
And he had to drink his own urine.
Oh, God.
And you can do that up to 6 times.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And not die.
Yeah.
But like.
Because your body just like refilters out.
And it becomes
the hydration.
More, yes.
But it becomes more and more.
It's like the way you distill vodka.
Okay.
It's probably why vodka tastes like piss.
Yeah, could be. Spicy piss.
Russian piss.
Ew. Potato. We have to stop. We have to stop this. Everybody's turned us off at this point.
Why are they talking about poop so much?
We're like 2 minutes in and everybody's like, goodbye.
I bet everybody's glad that we filtered out the first 45 minutes of this conversation.
Yes.
This is the most tame section.
100%.
Welcome to A Little Bit Grim.
That's Jenny over there. Taylor.
That's Taylor right over there on the other side of this table. We are 4 days in.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, we're 4 glasses of wine in. And I was like, damn, girl.
Are we?
No.
No.
Well, we're 2 very full glasses in.
Look, we're only 1 bottle down between the two of us.
Oh. Wow. 24-year-old us would be
disappointed.
Disappointed.
Remember when you made me a fake ID?
Wow. Yes, I do.
It went poorly.
It went bad. It went badly.
It's been 30 years or 30.
It's been 10.
10 years ago. And I still will not ever let you forget that.
It's like makes me uncomfortable to think that it's been 10 years since that has happened.
Wow, it doesn't feel like that.
No, I vividly remember everything about this day to the point where I'm like, this could have happened 2 years ago. For all I know,
mm-hmm.
Time is not my strong suit.
All the details.
All the details. We remember standing in line. I remember what the guy at the checkout looked like.
Yep.
I remember his facial expression when he said, this says 2010 on it for a birthday.
We just came out with the paper IDs that you got before the new ID came in the mail. And it was before they put in laws that said you can't use the paper IDs as like a valid ID.
Right. Like the government was like, yeah, we'll just give them paper ones for 2 weeks. It'll be fine. Nobody's going to do anything suspect with this.
Wrong. Taylor found MS Paint.
Listen, I am afforded a very interesting, like, characteristic that makes me look very trusting and very innocent, and that is also what I portray. I'm very uptight, I'm very judgmental. So when I do something illegal, nobody suspects me.
No. You do get away with do we commit a felony? Is that a felony?
I don't know. Probably.
Here's what I know. Here's what I know. Taylor, on this paper ID that she edited in paint.
Yes, literally paint.
Changed my birthday from my real birthday, 1990.
Yeah.
To accidentally 2010, which was the year we did this.
It was.
And we handed it to the guy at checkout
at Walmart.
Because we were trying to buy a bottle of Captain Morgan. Taylor was 21.
We're so dumb.
Taylor could have easily bought it, but I was like, no, I want to do it.
Because Because we are 2 months apart.
I can't believe we're telling this story on the podcast. Okay.
So the guy's like, this says your birthday is 2010. And I go, huh, that's weird. And I glare at Taylor. And I go, somebody should get fired for that.
And he goes, well, when's your birthday?
And because I'm stupid, I told him my real birthday. And he typed it in and he goes, burp, beep.
And he's like,
that's nope. Wrong.
He goes, that's not it. And I'm like, 1989. And he's goes, like,
okay.
All right. And typed it in and literally just sent us on our way.
And we booked it.
Ran out of that Walmart.
Oh my God. I got home and my roommate, who was also 21, she was 23 at this point. And she was like, you idiots.
Oh my God.
I can still see it.
Taylor.
We're so dumb.
Ah, the podcast has honestly been our best idea.
Absolutely, 100%. In the last 20 years that we've been friends?
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And we're glad that you're on this ride with us.
Welcome to A Little Bit Illegal
with Jenny and Taylor.
It's a grab bag episode.
It is a grab bag. So that's our grab bag story for you.
There you go. You're getting a bonus today.
Yeah.
Lucky dog.
How does it feel to be... this many, two, 3 days?
I am so excited.
Oh my God. How many days are we into 2021 is this? We're 3 days in?
Today is...
the third, right?
No, I don't think that's correct. Is today the... today is the fifth.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow, how does it feel to be 5 days in?
Boy, time flies. When it's not 2020.
I hope that everything is great. By this time in 2020, we had Trump tried to start World War III.
Uh-huh. Again.
We had the starts of the Australian fires.
Uh-huh.
So things were not off to a great start.
No.
So I hope that 5 days into 2021, everything is hunky-dory.
Listen, you're listening to this on the other side. We have not made it out of 2020 just quite yet.
By the skin of our teeth.
Ooh, so Lord have mercy.
Did Joni take over Jenny's body? Because that Ooh. Sounded like a Joni accent right there.
Ooh, Lord.
Lord have mercy on my soul, baby girl.
Oh, my Lord, I am fit to be tied. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Am I going first or are you going first?
I am going...
if you can find the story, you're
if
tell
I can
me.
Find the story, I just wanted to verify,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that I am going first.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I care about. We have to go back and forth, so it's even, okay?
Listen, I am here for you to have this decision.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, I'm going to get comfy. Sorry if you can hear all this.
Oh, no. The rust. Oh, the blanket fell off the feet.
It's okay. All right.
Taylor looks cozy.
Yep.
Okay. This is the short tale
uh-huh.
of TripAdvisor's number one murder site.
Oh!
This is a legal loophole and an example of our okay-ish nation's national parks.
Okay.
Okay. The Yellowstone Zone of Death is the name given to the 50-square-mile Idaho section of Yellowstone National Park, in which, as a result of a loophole in the Constitution of the United States, a criminal could theoretically get away with any crime up to and including murder.
Why are we telling people this?
The information is readily available on the internet.
But like, why is anybody telling people
I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stop questioning know. It.
We're going to get flagged.
Yeah.
Okay. So the United States District Court for the District of Wyoming is currently the only United States District Court to have jurisdiction over parts of multiple states. This is due to the fact that its jurisdiction includes all of Yellowstone National Park.
Okay.
Which extends slightly beyond Wyoming's boundaries into Idaho and Montana. In addition, the federal government has exclusive jurisdiction over the park, so crimes committed in the park cannot be prosecuted under any of the state's laws.
What?
Trials in the district court are normally held at the federal courthouse in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
However, the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution decrees that juries in federal criminal cases must be made up of citizens who are from both the district and state where the crime was committed. Because of this, charges for a crime alleged to have been committed in the area of the park in Idaho would have to be tried before a jury consisting entirely of residents in that area. And the trial would also have to take place there as well.
Okay.
As the Idaho portion of the park has no courthouses and is uninhabited, no such jury could be assembled. Thus, the defendant would be unable to have a fair trial and could not receive legal punishment for any alleged crimes.
What?
Yes.
Why?
Ma'am.
We should close that loophole.
It's 50 square miles.
That's a lot of miles.
That is a lot of miles.
That is some serial killer territory right there.
I stay out of the woods.
Is it woods?
I don't know what yellow. I've never been. Yellowstone. I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
There's
either.
A geyser.
Okay. What if you kidnap somebody from a surrounding state and take them there and then kidnap them or and then murder them? Could you still get
you could still be tried for kidnapping. Okay. And it would be an FBI case because you transported them across state lines.
Okay. All right. Still not great, but I'll take it.
If I think the theory is like if you randomly meet up with somebody there and you stab them.
Yeah.
There's no way for you to be legally tried in the they're going to find a way to make you go to jail, I'm sure.
They'll find something.
Please do not go murder anybody in this part of the forest.
If we find out that a murderer listens to this podcast and not in self-defense, we disown you.
And they didn't, like, email us a story at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com. Like, how rude. Absolutely disrespectful.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. I'm glad that I know about that, kind of.
Don't go murder people.
Don't go murder people. Okay. So my first story is one I've been holding on for a while since our last grab bag.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm in a group called Spooky Cryptid Posting on Facebook. It's amazing.
Okay.
So many users are artists and they draw and paint cryptids.
That's cool.
And it's great inspiration for any of our folklore tales. Mm-hmm. And they've honestly had a lot of cryptids that I have never heard of before. So I came across this post saying, "Has anyone seen or heard stories of this guy?" Articles I found on it refer to it as crawlers or the rake.
Ew.
Dibs.
Okay.
My friend said that they saw it in their family barn. I know there's a creepypasta on it, but this thing is real. My friend who saw it doesn't have internet access to read these kinds of stories.
Ew.
So I'm going to show you a picture of it, and then we'll post it to the Instagram.
Pause whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. Go look up the Instagram. Taylor, play creepy banjo music. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I wish somebody with long nails like that would run up on me.
I do not want to see it.
These hands are rated E for everybody. I am not. I cannot.
So it's a human-like creature, but it's hunched over and it's got like hollowed out vacant eyes, like in the drawing, they're just not there. Like it's
vacant.
They're just not vacant. Unoccupied. Occupancy percentage is zero.
Non-occupado eye sockets.
And its fingers are like really sharp claw-like things. Think Edward Scissorhands.
He's looking like those Instagram hand models.
Yeah, with the like talons.
Yes.
Okay, so I go into the comment section. And a girl named Amber Snow has quite a bit to say.
Oh, goodness. Does she now? This.
So she said, one day I woke up and found a photo on my flip phone. This was like 2010.
Whoa.
Taken at 3 a.m. when I was asleep. And it was of my bedroom window beside my bed with something that looked like this thing crawling through the blinds.
Oh, hell. Ooh. Oh, no, Taylor. Wait, I got goosebumps. No, I don't like it.
I'm sorry. I had this photo saved to a hard drive because I used to show it to people. Anytime this kind of stuff was brought up. But a few years ago, I looked for it on the hard drive and it was gone.
No, no, no.
The photo looks like it was taken from my perspective of me laying in bed, but I feel like I'd remember taking a photo of something crawling through my blinds at 3 a.m. A few weeks later, me and my mom woke up at midnight to what sounded like her calling my name from the living room. We both came out of our rooms and looked, but saw nothing. But there were three scratch lines going across the outside of my bedroom door. I never knew anything about the rake until years later, but the picture and the three scratchers made me think that this may have been what it was.
Oh, wait. Hold on, my whole body. I have chills. I can't.
So I commented and was like, girl,
tell me more.
I have a podcast. Can I share this on the show? And she was like, yeah, for sure. Go for it. So thanks, Amber, for sharing this story. It's kind of a listener story. She's not a listener, but I could not.
Amber.
I was out. Girl
stop. Out.
Please tell me you're okay. I'm glad that you're not ripped to human ribbons.
I can't. Oh. Oh my God. Ew. I can't. Okay. Okay. This one, is literally the definition of grab bag. We're like, it's a little longish. It is not enough to make a full episode.
Okay.
But I am here to reiterate the idea that you need to stay the fuck out of caves.
Okay. This is... why are people still going in caves?
I don't know.
We've told you.
Have we not evolved past this?
Okay. So like MFM has stay out of the woods.
Yep.
A Little Big Room has stay out of the caves.
Don't go in caves.
It's not a good idea.
There's nothing for you there.
No.
John Edward Jones loved spelunking.
We don't trust a man with that many first names.
That is so many.
That's a lot. It's too many.
That is too many. Also, I don't like the name spelunking. It reminds me of the word spunk, which also grosses me out. I used to have a figure skating coach that would call me spunky. And even when I was 8, I was like,
ugh. I don't like it.
I don't like it. He loved to go spelunking with his family. His father frequently took him and his brother Josh on caving expeditions in Utah when they were kids. The boys learned to love the underground depths and their dark beauty.
But no.
No. Unfortunately, just fall in love with a Scorpio woman. You'll be fine. Unfortunately.
Yep.
John's first expedition into Nutty Putty Cave.
Ew.
Gross. So
Nutty Putty.
Ew. Southwest of Utah Lake and about 55 miles from Salt Lake City was his last. John Edward Jones entered Nutty Putty Cave at around 8 p.m. 8 p.m.
There is nothing for you in this cave at 8 p.m.
I mean, if you're going to go in a cave, you can probably go any time of day, but just because it's dark as fuck in there, no matter what.
No, listen, I know that I sound very whiny about this, but can we just remember that the daylight is your friend?
There's a reason why we sacrificed people for the return of the sun god.
Exactly.
We need the sun. Stay in the light.
Nobody listens to us, Jenny.
No. And I feel like 90% of the time that's for the best.
But like, don't listen to us when we tell you exactly where you could murder somebody.
Don't listen to that, but do listen to this.
Yes.
He entered the cave around 8 p.m. local time on the evening of November 24th, 2009, a few days before Thanksgiving. John, 26 at the time, and Josh, 23, along with 9 other friends and family members, decided to explore Nutty Putty Cave as a way to connect with each other ahead of the holiday. John Edward Jones was in the prime of his life. He was married. He had a 1-year-old daughter.
Aww.
He was attending medical school in Virginia.
Aww.
He had come back home to Utah to spend some relaxing holiday time with his fam, but things did not go according to plan. It had been years since John was in any cave, and at 6 foot tall, 200 pounds, he wasn't the little tyke he used to be. About an hour into the caving expedition, John decided to find the Nutty Putty Cave formation known as the Birth Canal. A tight passage that spelunkers might crawl through carefully if they dare.
This is a bad idea.
Oh boy, is it. He found what he thought was the birth canal and inched his way into the narrow passage head first, moving forward using his hips, stomach, and fingers.
You're an idiot. I'm sorry.
We're getting some harsh critique from that side of the table over there.
I'm very sorry.
He thought.
Kind of.
So it was like a place that he and his family members had been.
Okay, before, like, when you were 13 and like a little noodle?
Well, they had thought he was at the birth canal, which is where the mouth of the cave wide, like, narrows and gets very tight and then opens back up into a huge chamber. So, within minutes, he realized he had made a grave mistake. He tried to exhale the air in his chest.
Oh, no.
So he could fit through a space that was barely 10 inches across and 18 inches high.
I can't even get my thigh through that.
Same. It was, just for like reference, about the size of the opening of a clothes dryer. But when John inhaled again and his chest puffed back out, he got stuck for good.
Oh God, this is making me feel very claustrophobic.
It's gonna get worse before it gets even worse.
Under the... out of the blanket. Okay. Yeah, Taylor's I'm got taking up as much space as I can. Okay. Keep going.
Okay. John's brother was the first to find him, and Josh tried to pull at his brother's calves to no avail, but then John slid down into the passage even further, becoming trapped worse than before, and his arms were now pinned beneath his chest, and he couldn't move at all. All John and Josh, who were both devout Mormons, could do at this point was pray, and Josh prayed out loud, "Guide us as we work through this. Save me for my wife and kids."
Oh, God.
Eventually, he scrambled towards the exit of the cave to get help. The brother. But even once help came, John was still trapped 400 feet into the cave and 100 feet below the earth's surface.
Dear God.
Getting people, equipment, and supplies down that far took an hour. The first rescuer to reach John was a woman named Susie Matola, who arrived at about 12:30 a.m. on November 25th. At that point, John had been trapped for 3.5 hours. Matola introduced herself to John, even though all she could see of him was a pair of navy and black running shoes. John is quoted to have said, "Hi, Susie, thanks for coming, but I really, really want to get out."
Oh.
Over the next 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
More than 100 rescue personnel worked feverishly to free John. The best plan they had was to use a system of pulleys and ropes to try to free John from his perilously tight spot. Sean Roundy, one of the rescuers on the scene, explained the difficulties facing anyone, even experienced spelunkers, who went into Nutty Putty Cave. Most of the passages were dangerously narrow, even at the entrance, where warning signs had been placed. John trapped inside the cave, time was running out. The downward angle at which John was trapped was putting great stress on his body, because such a position requires the heart to work incredibly hard to continuously pump blood out of the brain.
Oh, God.
Obviously, when the body's right side up, gravity does the work for you and the heart doesn't have to shoulder that load. Rescuers tied John with a rope connected to a series of pulleys. Everything was ready and they pulled as hard as they could, but suddenly and without warning, one of the pulleys failed. Roundy believes that the pulley came loose at its anchor point in the cave wall, which contained a substantial amount of loose clay.
Oh my God.
The rope and pulley operation was no longer, and rescuers had no other viable plans, and John was stuck. He suffered hours upon hours of strain due to his downward position, and John was pronounced dead of cardiac arrest shortly before midnight on the evening of November 25th, 2009. Rescuers had spent 27 hours trying to save John. His family thanked rescuers for their help, even despite the horrible news. The cave was shut down, and to this day, John's body remains there, unable to be retrieved.
What? Mm-hmm. What? Oh my God!
Don't go into caves.
No! There's nothing for you there!
What did...
Curiosity killed the human.
And John.
And
cats and everybody else.
That's so sad.
It is incredibly. His wife and his baby girl, like, at home the week of Thanksgiving.
Had to be like, he went to a cave and never came out.
Right.
And he's still down there.
And he's still there.
Like, isn't he bones?
Yeah, but they sealed the cave. Oh, like,
they sealed it.
You cannot go in the cave anymore. And none of it, he had been down there. And now
fucking haunted.
Right. It's probably from the vast, like, it probably should just seal it. From
yeah.
The get-go. But it's because they missed a turnoff. And well, on the Instagram too, you'll see this. There's a diagram of the cave. And it shows the birth canal where they were supposed to go through.
Okay.
And then it shows the passage where he got stuck.
Oh, my God.
So they thought they were on the right path, and they were not.
Gives me the heebs.
Yeah.
Oh, poor John. I'm sorry I called you an idiot, but, like, don't go into caves.
Don't go into caves.
Okay. So I have a little bit more of a lighthearted.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry now. A Dutch train blew past the end of its elevated tracks on November 22nd this year in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And it could have crashed into the ground about 30 feet below, but the train was caught and held up by a massive sculpture of a whale's tail.
What? What?
Yep.
Why?
We don't know why the train didn't stop, and the derailment is still under investigation. The conductor of the train was the only person on board, according to the Associated Press.
Thank God.
The driver was questioned by the police and sent home. Like, it was just a failure of the brake system.
Okay.
But it's like a sculpture of, like, three whale's tails in the middle of this, like, metro area. And the train should have stopped, but it didn't. And it just, like, blew past and, like, I don't know if it blew through, like, anything. But it should have just, like, crashed to the ground. But there was this whale tail there, and it just went bloop right on top.
What?
The architect who designed the sculpture told the Dutch broadcaster RTL that he was pleased that it likely saved the life of the driver. I'm surprised it's so strong, he said. If plastic had been standing for 20 years, you don't expect it to hold a metro carriage.
You certainly don't.
The train was left beached upon the two tail fins known as flukes several yards above the ground. It remained that way for a couple of days because they weren't sure how to get it down. Eventually, they used slings, but I'm sure they were overwhelmed.
Taylor, that is quite the tale.
I know.
Needless to say, we'll post a picture on the Instagram.
I can't.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay, my next one is more lighthearted. I didn't want to end on the cave story.
Thank God.
Okay, this is hysterical. I don't know if anybody on this podcast, like, likes video games the way I like video games, but in honor of Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh, Jesus.
Which,
sorry.
Wow.
The judgment was real.
It was so heavy. It's thick in the air. Okay, in honor of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I'm going to share a dumbass story about Vikings.
Okay, great. Okay. I love a Viking story.
You're going to love this. For those who don't know, runes are the written language of Old Norse, the language that Vikings spoke way back in the day. In 1861, archaeologists were poking around like they do, and they found evidence of Viking activity inside a Stone Age burial chamber in Scotland known as Maeshowe. Super high up in an inaccessible area of the chamber, they found nearly illegible graffiti written in Old Norse.
What?
They spent years and years and years and years and years in insurmountable resources trying to decipher the verbiage, like, in the, like, Scandinavian archaeologist world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the biggest unsolved mystery.
I love that. I wanted to be an archaeologist so bad.
You would have been great at it, honestly.
Oh, a
little,
thank you.
I could see, like, a little Laura Croft in you. And, like, you would look great in, like, cargo pants.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, so they literally bent over backwards trying to decipher and figure out what the verbiage was on this cave wall. What could it mean? What secrets did it hold?
At least it wasn't Latin.
How was How is it written so high in such an inaccessible part of the burial mound?
Stupid.
The mystery continued on and on. A map? A song? Well, not too long
ago.
How
to steal the Declaration of Independence?
It's written on the back. Use lemon juice.
One of the greatest movies of all time. I love that movie.
I really do. Anyway.
We should watch it on our movie day.
Oh my God. Do you want to?
I mean, I feel like we should watch something Christmas themed.
Okay.
But like, I could not be, I might be talked into a little National Treasure.
I might be talking about some
National Treasure. Okay. All right.
Okay. So they cracked the code.
Oh no.
It said.
I can't wait. Tell me.
I have to get my laugh.
Tell me.
It says, Tolfir Kolbensson carved these runes high up.
Are you kidding me?
He invented bathroom graffiti?
He invented Bob was here. Tolfir was here.
I can't imagine
how much money dollars went into this.
So many. And people did like their doctorate dissertations about
what it
like,
could be.
What it could be. I'd be so how? Mad. Why?
It I would be so mad.
Some Viking drunk on like pig's blood was like
fermented pig's blood.
Tolfir was here.
Wow.
I love it. I love it.
That's amazing. I'm happy to know that story. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I have a listener story.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Okay.
All right. This is from Shannon.
Okay.
And she says, hi, girls. Shannon here. Pronouns she, her. Thank you, Shannon.
Thanks, Shannon, for telling us.
I wanted to share a not so spooky, maybe more heartwarming story.
Okay.
This is about the passing of my grandma that happened in 2014.
I am so sorry.
That's not heartwarming. I hope it gets better. I honestly haven't read this whole thing. Too. Okay. I copy pasted.
Okay.
I thought it would be better if we were all surprised together.
Raw reactions.
Yeah. there are a few experiences that I and a few other family members had after she passed. A couple days after her passing, my mom and her sister were sitting down with a lawyer to go over the will and other important details. My mom shared this with me the following day, but they were talking about my grandma's finances and if they knew if she had any other money hidden. They didn't know, but then the china cabinet. Oh, I'm sorry. This is what I get for not reading ahead. they didn't know, but then the china cabinet started the rattling in the dining room. So my mom went to see what was happening, and that's when she found an envelope with money hidden in the cabinet.
What?
Oh my God.
What?
Secret money.
Sorry.
I mean,
oh my God, secret money!
Grandma!
We're gonna read these ahead from now on.
Yeah. Okay, this is a bad plan.
Okay.
A few weeks after the funeral, we were all at my grandma's house, which she passed in to clean out the furniture. It was just me, my sister, and my aunt inside. Everyone was outside when we checked to see when we heard footsteps from the upstairs coming from my grandma's room. The three of us all heard it and went to check. No one was up there, and there was no one. My aunt and uncle decided not to sell the house and move in after it was finished being renovated, and they both smelt my grandma's perfume.
Oh,
and have seen orbs in her garden. Oh my God, Shannon.
Grandma?
These are small and not creepy stories, but I wanted to share because we always feel that my grandma still checks in on us every once in a while. Best, Shannon.
Shannon.
Grandma.
I love your Nana.
Oh, Grams. So sweet.
Oh my God. I love that.
I love that you can smell her perfume. I think that that's what gets me in my feels.
Yeah. It gets me in my feels too.
Like, well, I can smell my grandma. Like, I don't think she wears perfume. I just think that that's like her, like scent.
Yeah.
And like anytime I hug her, like I can,
smell.
I know what that smells like. And it would probably bring me to tears if I like smelled that
when
she wasn't here.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love that so much.
What a good story to end on.
My great grandma, Grandma Pond.
Uh-huh.
She was a radical woman, especially in her time. She was born in 1914.
Wow.
She lived to be 98 years old.
Whoa.
Whoa, indeed. Her and her two sisters traveled to Cairo by themselves.
Shut up.
In like the 50s. What? Isn't that wild?
That's amazing.
I know. She had like.
I want to be Grandma Pond.
She was amazing. Her Olive. Olive was her name. Olive.
Olive Pond?
Pauline Olive Pond.
Oh, I love.
She was just the sweetest little lady. Anyway, she always had, you know those old flavored Tootsie Rolls?
Yes.
She always had a jar of those, and she always smelled like freshly cut roses.
Oh, I love that.
And now whenever I smell roses, it just so much makes me think of, like, it almost gets me, like, choked out when I think about it.
Yeah. My mom always smelled like ripe tomatoes.
Mmm. I love the smell of tomatoes.
Like, sun-ripe tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Not the tomatoes that you can get at the grocery store. No. They have to be grown in a garden.
They're sweet.
Yes, but if you smell a sun-ripened tomato, that's what my mom smelled like.
Joni.
And so I love that smell. It always gets me choked up.
I love that.
Aww. Well, thanks for sharing. If you would like your story to be written.
If you would like to write your story for it to be read.
Yeah. I think I tried to.
You try to conjugate that into something very short. No.
Anyway, if you would like us to read your written story on the podcast, email us at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com, or you can send us a DM. That works too.
Follow us on the social medias.
Yes, we have a Twitter. We have an Instagram. We have a Facebook group. We're a lot of fun.
Yes, we do. We have a lot of stuff happening right now.
Yeah. And if you're feeling generous, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts or on Podchaser.
We would love for you to do that, please.
That would be amazing. We would love you forever.
Do you have a bright and shiny?
Oh, let me think. Do you have a bright and shiny?
My bright and shiny is my sisters, who I don't talk about. I'm an only child, like, quote unquote, technically.
Sure.
I have two older stepsisters. I love them dearly. They sent me an insane amount of wine.
Oh,
for my birthday.
I love that.
It came in like a crazy heavy box. I couldn't get inside. And we just had Borrelia.
Ooh, it was delicious.
I am very thankful for my sisters and their good taste in wine.
That was amazing. Good.
What are yours?
I am thankful and grateful, bright, shiny, for finally being home after a long trip for work.
Yep.
And I got home today, and it was very nice. I was excited to see Ryan, and then I knew that I was going to record tonight, and that is what I've been looking forward to all week. So, yeah, that's my bright and shiny, just being home for the holidays.
Yay!
Yay!
Be kind to yourself.
And to each other.
Goodbye!